You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller. And as we are working through a series of the Psalms, we're looking at different Psalms and how they've impacted our hearts and our worship, as well as the songs that have been written and performed here on the Songtime program. And you've heard many voices, one message, and it's not just the people we have here who teach and preach. It's also the musicians who add a unique aspect to this ministry since it started over 52 years ago with John DeBrine, the first Christian DJ. And we are joined today by Larry Ford. He was with us, I think it was 2 years ago here on Cape Cod for our Songtime conference, and we were able to worship with him together. And Larry, thank you so much for being a part of our program today.
Hey, I am overwhelmingly honored, Adam, that you had asked me to do this because, well, John's a special person, but, you know, there are a lot of people that I know. I could name them off. I won't do that, but I could name off people who have been affected by the ministries of Songtime back through the years. And they've shared their personal testimonies with me about their relationship with Songtime and how it contributed to their lives and their I won't even say ministries, I'll just say their Christian walk. It's a beautiful thing. I'm glad to be a part of it. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'm glad you're able to be a part of the program as well. I'm sure that many of our listeners are familiar with you, your music, and those mm-hmm. who attended our conference 2 years ago would remember the blessing that we had with you leading us in worship as well. But I want to bring back to our conversation of what we're talking about for this month
mm-hmm.
and how the Psalms have influenced you as not only a singer, not only a musician, not only a worship leader, but also a pastor. How have the Psalms been at the very core of the ministry that you've had?
Adam, I have taught in the Psalms, and I do more to break them down than a lot of folks do, I guess. But specifically, the ones that I love to teach and minister on are the ones out of, it starts around Psalm 120, right in that general vicinity. It's called the Songs of Ascent. And they're a special group of psalms that are comprised starting out with 120. And they're also called pilgrim songs or songs attributed to King David. That's Psalm 122, 24, 31, and 33. And one to Solomon in particular, Psalm 127. While the remaining 10 seem to be anonymous, the city of Jerusalem is situated on a high hill, and Jesus, or rather the Jews, traveling to Jerusalem for one of the three main annual Jewish festivals, traditionally sang these songs on the ascent or up the hill, up the road to the city. And according to some traditions, the Jewish priests also sang some of these songs of ascent as they walked up the steps to the temple in Jerusalem. They were what I call traveling psalms. And I'm gonna tell you why I'm laughing about that later, because in the last few years, it's been traveling to me has been a test as to whether I was going to keep my sanctification or not, especially because of all the things that are going on in the world and security and various things. And I've pretty much gotten used to it, but there are times there's a test to it. And when it begins to really test me, Adam, I start singing, and you would not believe how quickly things move along when you start singing songs about, especially the Psalms. Now, I could sing just about anything, but I choose that because it is a psalm of ascent, and I'm trying to get up somewhere, maybe in the clouds on an airplane, but I start singing that. I have some buddies that you would know them if I call their names out to you, that told me a story that something that happened to them several years ago, Adam. They were down here in South Florida, and they had just gotten on an airplane here to travel back to Pennsylvania. And when they did, there was a rowdy group of people on the airplane that were just being ugly and profane, and their language was bad. You know, that doesn't happen often, but every now and then people get a little too much of the happy juice inside of them, and they begin to talk bad. And they were doing this on this particular ride, and my buddies back in the back, this makes me laugh every time I tell the story, Adam. They were in the back of the airplane. One of the guys in the back of the airplane began to say, "Well, Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And they just kept doing it. And finally, one of the guys broke into song. And he just sang that. And the guys in the front who were sitting at what distance from him started singing. The whole airplane got quiet and just almost reverent to the. And the guys told me that from there all the way up to Charlotte, where they were making their connection, that airplane was a praise time. It was a, well, I won't say praise time. It was just quiet because these guys had started something different. You know something? I have tried that myself, Adam, and guess what? It works. It truly works. So I do it often. I'll just start singing. No, not quiet, not out loud, you know, just to dominate the situation, but just something quiet. And I'll see the gal at the TSA desk. She'll look across at me as I'm singing something, and she's, "You're awful happy." I say, "Yeah, got a reason to be." And that's all I say. I don't go into any depths or anything about it. Just, "Yeah, got a reason to be." And just keep singing. And things go quickly. And I get through the TSA line rather quickly. I was just thinking of things that are coming up this week. I got to go out to a trip to Minneapolis, and there's been some bad news about travel and extra TSA and all that kind of stuff. And I'm kind of looking forward to it because it gives me a chance to test my theory. Sing the Psalms. It works. It really does.
You know, the Psalms have been with us for many years. They've been the bedrock, not only for the old temple worship and those songs of ascent, walking up to the temple. I was there in Israel for a time when they had one of the rabbis had died, and we were watching as the city of Jerusalem was being flooded by Jews.
Wow.
Who were going to the West Wall to pray, and they'd all stop and
mm-hmm.
read one of those Psalms every, you know, 100 feet or so. And the Psalms have been a rich foundation for our faith and something that has guided our worship even today. You have been a pastor, a worship leader, a musician, a singer. You've performed with the Gaithers. How have the Psalms helped you and influenced you?
Adam, I need to deal with this in specifics because as far as singing Psalms with Bill and the Gaithers, we don't do that very often. Mostly it's gospel stuff that has a gospel message to it, but it opens doors for me when I go in to sing in a church, and I have a guy who travels with me now, a keyboard guy, and we have a formula. I say formula because it's what we do time and time again, of songs that we do, and it's Psalms. It's praise songs. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name." That's one of my favorite ones we'll start out with. "Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name." You know, that's not a psalm, but it is an ascent to a psalm. And I love to do it. I love to lead people. Most people know that song today. I just love to lead people in worship. It is a part of my ministry gift to do that.
Where's your history? I mean, you started off quite a while ago with leading people in worship. Tell us a little bit about your background and how that has been an impact on your own personal life, but also been able to bring you to unique places to be able to lead people in worship.
Well, my mom just went to heaven. She just beat us there by how long, I don't know, but for a while. Last week she went on. And the weekend that she left, I was up in Pennsylvania and was sitting in front of a church building. I use all those terms very specifically, Adam, because to me, we are the church. It's, you know, buildings aren't churches. And I was sitting there, phone rang, cell phone, and a lady on the other end that says, "Mr. Ford, I hate to tell you," and she went on to describe how Mom had gone on. And I just kind of stopped for a minute, and after I got off the phone and awaiting other things to happen, trying to get out of the car on my own, I just said, "Well, Mom, you beat us there. You're with Dad now, and things are on a whole new level for you." I address it that way because that's how I feel. That's the reality for me, is that Mom's in heaven. And she's enjoying the Psalms in a way that none of us are here, not on this earth. Even though the Psalms are something that we do in text of worship, context of worship here on this earth, I believe there is a step that you take that goes well beyond what we understand now in the Psalms, and it happens there. I don't think it happens here. I think we go beyond that that realm into the heavenlies, the Holy of Holies, so to speak. And it's new worship. To me, that opened up a whole new door for me because Mom's gone. She taught me worship. She taught me my musical, well, I say my abilities. I guess a lot of it, we learned that listening to our mom play the piano when we were in her belly. You know what I mean? Things start early for us, and we don't even know it, but it is happening, and they're leading us. They're setting the stage for us to start worshiping even when we're in their bellies. I believe that. Yeah.
Now, your ministry has spanned decades, and you've led not only churches in your pastoral ministry, but also conferences and great mm-hmm. concerts as well in worship. How has that impacted you to be able to guide and shepherd in that way, to bring us to the throne of grace?
Going to school, honestly. I really enjoy the services I sit down in because they're kind of, for me, they're going to school. I sit and listen very carefully and try to tie together what message I hear with what music is relevant to it. And I just love to choose music. My wife isn't. She's a master at that. I learn a lot from her about music and what music to use for worship. And I passed it on to my kids, my daughter, my sons. My daughter is one who really loves to lead worship, and she does that in her church. She's a part of an Adventist group here in Fort Myers, and she is their praise and worship leader. I say that unashamedly because she really loves it.
A great legacy of worship. We've been talking with Larry Ford, who has sung many of the songs that we have here on the program, as well as led us in worship a few years ago at our Songtime Conference. Larry, thank you so much for being a part of our program, for helping us understand how the Psalms have had an impact in your worship, as well as guiding you in leading others in worship as well.
Adam Miller, I want to tell you this. I have had so many people tell me that they have started their days and listened and been encouraged by and supported by the ministry of Songtime. Take it back to John DeBrine, if you will. Even if you don't, I think that those times and days have contributed to a lot of people's lives and ministries and hopes and families. And Songtime, that music, means a lot to them. Oh, for some of them, it's how they started their day. And I hear it many, many times, especially when I'm in the Northeast, because that's where you guys are. But, man, what a legacy you have.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. It was a real privilege to talk with you, and hopefully you'll be able to come back onto the program again sometime.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it, sir.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.